Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, beginning in chapter 19, verse 1. If you want to open up in your pew Bible, it is found in the New Testament on page 82. Hear the word of the Lord. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, open us to your word that we would hear what you have to say to us today. Through Jesus Christ, who invites us to welcome him in, even before we are ready or worthy. Amen. So, true confession, I absolutely love fairy tales. And just in case high school English was a long time ago, a fairy tale is a fictional story that may contain folkloric characters like fairies, goblins, elves, trolls, witches, giants, and talking animals, and enchantments, often involving a far-fetched sequence of events. So perhaps my love for fairy tales has something to do with the number of Grimm's fairy tales that I translated in high school German, or maybe with the childhood dream that I was actually a princess, like in Princess Diaries. No matter the reason, there's something about fairy tales that has made them last through the generations and somehow still hold weight for us today. There's a reason they're the stories that we heard as children and keep telling to our children. I think there's something attractive about them to all of us. Because who doesn't want to see that beast transformed by love? Or that island girl cross the open sea fighting enormous sea monsters and impossible odds just to save her people? Or the princess to be woken from her sleep by the prince hunting in the woods? Or the prince to find that girl he danced with and then who lost her shoe, but who is now locked away in her own home by her evil stepmother? Or the princess to give endless summer to her people? I think we're drawn to fairy tales, not necessarily because we want to marry Prince Charming and go off and live in a far-off land, although maybe some days that sounds pretty good too. I think we're drawn to fairy tales because we want something in them to be true. We want to believe that lives can be changed, transformed even. We want to believe that our work matters and is making an impact on the world around us. We want to believe that darkness will not have the final word. We want the impossible to actually be possible. And so then imagine with me for just a moment the story that we just heard from the Gospel of Luke as a fairy tale. We're introduced to this man named Zacchaeus, and we immediately learn a few things. He's short, he's a chief tax collector, and he's rich. Oh, and the people hate him. You see, as a tax collector, especially the chief tax collector, Zacchaeus was responsible for collecting taxes for the Romans. But tax collectors were also allowed to collect a little extra for themselves, which would explain how Zacchaeus gained his wealth. And so the tax collectors were generally disliked because it was assumed that they stole money from others. More specifically, Zacchaeus was hated because he was also a Jew, but he worked for the Romans and collecting taxes from his fellow Jews. So he wasn't just any tax collector, he was also a traitor. And then one day, Zacchaeus sees a man named Jesus approaching, and Zacchaeus decides that he wants to see Jesus. But because he was short, all he could see was the backs of the people who also wanted to see Jesus. And so, taking matters into his own hands, Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd to climb a sycamore tree just so he could spot Jesus as he walked by. And I have to appreciate something about this image, because you have this wealthy man, presumably well-dressed man, who was used to getting anything that he really wanted. And he now throws all caution and composure aside and climbs a sycamore tree simply to spot this man named Jesus. So I can just see Zacchaeus dressed in his finest robes sitting up in a sycamore tree. And then, to Zacchaeus' astonishment, when Jesus got to that sycamore tree, he stopped and he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." It's absolutely unbelievable and ridiculous. I'm not completely sure what Zacchaeus thought he might accomplish by climbing up that sycamore tree. I'm pretty sure he didn't think this was going to happen. Because here's this man who is presumably stolen from his friends and neighbors, who has climbed into a tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus, and who is now going to have dinner with Jesus at his own house nonetheless. And at this point, no matter how loudly the crowds start to grumble and complain that Jesus is associating with lowly sinners and outcasts, we're somehow rooting for Zacchaeus. We want to see the impossible become possible for him. And it doesn't take long, because Zacchaeus immediately jumps down from the tree and proclaims, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." And Jesus immediately replies to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house." And so, in this very brief moment, Zacchaeus' life is changed forever. He has gone from a wealthy, conniving tax collector to a follower of Jesus. The impossible has become possible. And what gets me every time is that all Zacchaeus really did was climb into a sycamore tree so that he could just see Jesus. It was Jesus who stopped, stood at the bottom of the tree, looked up, saw Zacchaeus sitting there, and invited himself over for dinner. It was Jesus who took the initiative, and then Zacchaeus who responded to Jesus' gracious invitation. And here's the thing. This isn't a fairy tale. Zacchaeus was a real man whose life was really changed when he met Jesus. Zacchaeus' story is the gospel story. It's a story that when he couldn't do anything for himself, Jesus found him and invited himself into his life. And then Zacchaeus couldn't help but respond by giving away his riches to the people he had once wronged. When Zacchaeus climbed up that sycamore tree, he is at least initially motivated just by his own curiosity. He simply wanted to see Jesus. Jesus, on the other hand, is motivated by love. He wanted to be with Zacchaeus. In other words, Jesus meets Zacchaeus' curiosity with invitation. And that invitation flies in the face of the expectations of the crowd, who grumble that Jesus wants to be the guest of a notorious sinner like Zacchaeus. And for me, that's what stands at the heart of the gospel. Because Jesus didn't wait for Zacchaeus to invite him into his home. Jesus didn't stand at the bottom of the tree, look up, and expect anything from Zacchaeus. Instead, Jesus takes the initiative and invites himself into Zacchaeus' home. The thing is, that isn't out of character for Jesus. Time and time again, Jesus acts against social expectations and religious decorum by associating with those regarded by others to be outcast and unclean. So by seeking Zacchaeus out in the sycamore tree, Jesus once again demonstrates God's extravagant and unexplainable desire for the lost. But God's love doesn't end there, because God's love is also a transforming love. It leads to lives turned upside down and completely changed. And perhaps that's why we're so drawn to fairy tales, because they allow us to live in a world where, even for just a moment, that kind of transformation is possible, where all people or creatures are revealed for who they really are. The ugly duckling becomes a great white swan. The frog becomes a prince. The scarecrow gets his brains. The lion gets his courage. The tin man gets his heart. And the beast becomes a man. And that's the gospel story too. Author and theologian Frederick Buechner puts it this way: the news of the gospel is that extraordinary things happen to people, just as in fairy tales, extraordinary things happen. Zacchaeus climbs up a sycamore tree, a crook, and climbs down a saint. Paul sets out a hatchet man for the Pharisees and comes back a fool for Christ. It's impossible for anyone to leave behind the darkness of the world he carries on his back like a snail. But for God, all things are possible. That is the fairy tale. That is the truth. The news of the gospel is that God can do all things. We've heard that so often that it's just become another cliche. We throw it around in difficult situations, when there aren't easy answers, when we don't necessarily know what to say, when everything simply seems impossible. But I think we forget that the impossible has been the work of God from the beginning. Out of nothing, God created everything. God gave a child to an old and barren woman, and then created a nation. God brought that nation out of slavery and into a brand new land. And then God gave another son to a young woman, and through that son, God saved the world. And there's a whole lot of power in that. Buechner goes on to say, that is the fairy tale of the gospel, with, of course, the one crucial difference from all other fairy tales, which is that the claim made for it, that it is true, that it not only happened once upon a time, but has kept on happening ever since and is happening still. And that's good news for us, because it means that it is possible for our lives to be changed. It is possible that the lives of those we love will be changed. It is possible for the situations in which we find ourselves to be changed. It is possible that that illness will end. It is possible for our church to grow and to change. It is possible to begin and to try new things. And it is possible that the darkness will not win. And in fact, it's not just possible, it's probable. It's the promise of the gospel. Because at the end of the day, the gospel is transformational. It promises that the darkness will not win, though it might seem like it in the moment. For the darkness has already been defeated, and the good news will always win. Thanks be to God. Amen.